Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the weekly show brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount is yours at levisolicitors.co.uk/squareball. Usual trio with you, Dan, Michael and Moscow White.
Moscow with a big old stain over his shirt today.
Hiding it behind the microphone.
Coming in here. Nobody can see like it. A fucking tramp.
It might be blood, but it's not mine, so it doesn't count.
As long as it's not yours, then there's no problem, is there?
It's a nice shirt otherwise.
I suspect you've tried to drink a bottle of your coffee that you like laying down. It's gone badly wrong.
TSB Plus, by the way, this week we are chatting to Tony DiRigo, the second part of the 1991-92 two-parter on the extra ball. The key moments of that season, the moments that saw us to the title win 30 years ago, and including that famous dive by Gordon Watson. DiRigo says a mean word about him, doesn't he?
And he rarely says a mean word about anyone.
He is a bloody nice man, but not about Gordon Watson. You can find that over on the Extra Ball. Full details of TSB Plus at thesquareball.net/plus. Loads of benefits, and it helps us too. Relegation watch then, part one of the show. We're out of the relegation zone, lads. That's good, isn't it? Look at the table.
We are recording this on Tuesday, should say, in case you catch up with this on...
If you're listening on Friday morning.
Yeah, we'll see on that, won't we?
Yeah.
But that's good.
But it's better than being 18th, isn't it? Being 17th. Admittedly, there is the slight wrinkle, off Thursday and Burnley's game in hand and Everton's game in hand. But other than that, I mean, we are still favourites to go down on that basis alone. But, you know, given what's happened, it's all right, innit? We've got a chance.
I'm pretty sure you promised me that another point would do it because they'd lose all their games.
Well, I said Leeds would get a point against Brighton, which we've done, tick, and then nobody else would win any games for the rest of the season.
Including us.
Yeah. It's the Leeds United way because they'll drag it out to the 90th minute of the final game because we'll be hanging on thinking, oh, if Burnley score, then we're down. If Burnley score, then we're down. And then we may yet go down, but I think if we're going to stay up, that's the way we'll do it.
God.
Burnley, they lost at Spurs. It's a funny one, isn't it? Like the concourse is completely packed at Elland Road showing that game. Everyone's staying under the stands to the point where they're even singing under the East Stand. And they switched off the footage just as it went to injury time and cut to Liam Cooper's face in the tunnel.
Bless him. So when did that game kick off?
12 noon.
Oh, okay. Why did they send it off then? What's wrong with them?
I don't know. They wanted to show Liam Cooper coming out of the tunnel.
Very strange decision. But yeah, that was good. I think Burnley could have got something from that game, but also could have lost by more from the bits I saw of it.
Yeah, the Tottenham, as they're known, had like 20 shots and all that kind of stuff. And then I read a very sort of positive tinged thing in The Athletic. Their Burnley correspondent was all about how Burnley for this game, they changed to five at the back to really limit what Tottenham could do. And they, you know, they played amazingly and their, you know, their defenders came in and were absolutely magnificent. But really, if Harry Kane wasn't doing, he always blows hot and cold. He has those games where you give him like 20 chances and he scores a penalty. I think a good striker, like a Gelhardt or a Roberts would have scored many, many more goals past them. And it was kind of leaving them, they're in a quandary now because Aston Villa beat them handily just a few weeks ago at Turf Moor. So they've got to go to Villa Park. And do they stick with this five at the back thing that earned them such a great, really, you know, brave defeat at Tottenham? Or do they go back to the way that they got beaten last time against Villa? So pick a way to lose, Burnley. Mm. And, you know, mate, they should, you know, do we offer some points deductions for going to Tottenham and doing Nazi salutes from, admittedly, only a couple of the fans, but a couple too many. So, you know, they should not stay up for that long.
Burnley and Everton both did some racism this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, so it falls upon Leeds to take the rare moral high ground in this situation. So ask yourself, the rest of the Premier League over the games to come, which team do you want representing your brand next season?
And go with the safe bet.
The answer Leeds should United. Be the delightful supporters of Leeds United, who will never do you any wrongs.
I mean, we were sort of another Leeds goal away from a perfect weekend, which is what we touched on over on Propaganda, that out of all the permutations there could have been, we got the second best outcome, which was the other two losing and us drawing Everton's loss. That was quite funny.
Hilarious. Good old Frank.
I still think they're probably outsiders for this, but you just never know in this business, do you? Because they've got Palace at home on Thursday. I think it's going to be a bit more twitchy.
And then they end against Arsenal, don't they? They've got to go away to Arsenal. And it's all about Champions League. If Arsenal have to win to have a chance now of getting into the Champions League after screwing it up against Newcastle. So there is this prospect that keeps in the back of my mind of, like, it would be absolutely beautiful if Everton went down from here. But the problem with that is that would require, if I'm correct, Burnley winning. I just don't want Burnley to win on Sunday. I feel like that would be unhelpful in general. So,
in fairness, they could just win on Sunday is the thing that could happen. That would probably be the more comfortable position.
Well, just in general, like, I don't want them to win on Sunday either.
Oh, see, yeah.
I don't want anything that kind of hints at Leeds going down.
Mm.
It's just best not to go there, even if that's the way for Everton to go down.
Yeah, I'd like us to not have to get another point. That's the level of faith I have in us.
And as I was just saying before there, to repeat that point, if we're going to do it, that's how we'll do it.
I would say the Brentford against Everton, the little I saw of it, Brentford don't look that great defensively. There was, like, the penalties that they gave away was two players crashing into each other, and Everton started, they had chances before taking the lead. So there's possibilities there for them to be got at.
We'll do this in the Brentford preview, which is,
I forgot we were doing Brentford preview.
Part two of this.
They're easy to forget about in first.
Let's look at the 538 projection. I'm prepared to go back to that this week because it is the website 538.com. They run a season simulations. They do 20,000 of them to look at the outcome. Our chances have improved. The probabilities they reckon, according to their silly algorithm, Everton to finish safe on 38 points with a 9% chance of relegation. Burnley, 36 points, 35% chance. And us also on 36 points, 56% chance of relegation. Now, when you actually analyse what they're predicting there, their silly algorithm is predicting that us, Burnley and Everton will all draw all of our remaining games. So all five of the remaining fixtures that we've got will all be draws, is what they are predicting.
Every week you bring this shambles to the podcast.
It's a supercomputer.
And I never know what any of it means.
It's a supercomputer.
I think that's inaccurate. Because I think none of us will get it. Well, certainly in that last week, I think none of us will get any points.
Mm.
Whether they get something from Palace, Everton, that is, I don't know. Burnley, I suspect, will probably lose both of theirs. But I don't know, you know. We will see, won't we? I don't see, of those five games, five draws being the outcome. That just doesn't seem realistic.
I've just very quickly gone to a popular betting website, and I can get 600-1 as an acca on all those games being draws. So
they think that's the likeliest outcome.
Exactly.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know. I guess just picking five games to all have the same result is going to be pretty high odds anyway. So yeah, I don't. And also, last day of the season, it's not going to. Well, last two rounds of the season, it's not going to end up with five draws. Don't be ridiculous. Well,
it's exciting. I mean, it's last day of the season. Not done this in ages.
This Packard Bell desktop needs to be in the bin with a match after it.
I will say the exciting part of this is that we peaked at 65% probability to go down, but we have reduced now to 56. So our chances are improving with each passing day.
There's not a lot of comfort in that 9%.
Just for the record, I am putting £2 on all those games. Why not?
Yeah, we've not had anything riding on the last day, have we, for ages? I think League One promotion was the last I can think of.
Mm.
I think we've had outside chances of playoffs maybe on one or two occasions. I can't remember. And
Wigan away when we could have won 14-0 if Charlie Taylor hadn't cried off.
Yeah, that sort of a thing. But yeah, it's always been a bit boring. Even when we've gone up and gone down, which seems to have mainly happened a bit ahead of time, doesn't it? Even winning the title, we didn't go to the final day.
Yeah, relegation from the Premier League we played at home
against Charlton, but it was already done.
Way to Chelsea.
Mm.
And then relegation from the Championship. We still had to go to Derby after that, didn't we? And we had loads of players sent off. So, yeah. Good. I told you it'd be an exciting end of the season, didn't I?
Hooray. How do you sort of genuinely, like, hand on heart feel about it? Michael, I dare say you're terrified. I'm well, whatever happens now, I'm fine with it.
I'm not terrified, actually, because no? I've come to terms with the fact that, you know, the equaliser on the weekend made me think, you still have last-minute goals again in the Championship, don't you? And, that can and that's still fun. And Brighton are a Championship team anyway. You know, I know you've kind of look forward to being in the Premier League so you can play against teams like Liverpool, scum that you've not played for ages. But then this season's made me think, don't want to play them.
No, it's awful, isn't it?
It's horrible. I hate getting dicked. It's just, it's been hard to watch. So I've kind of come to terms with it. I would obviously like us to stay up.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that it's come down to us having games against Brighton and Brentford, our old like League One pals. Maybe we should all just go back down there. Maybe we'll start around Splinter League. They tried to start a Super League. Maybe we'll start a crap league.
Well, what Michael's saying there and thinking about the Super League, the more I'm starting to think it's a better idea.
Yeah, if they'd all pissed off, it'd have been great.
Because like, the FA Cup final, crap. And the cup finals are between these teams every single year now.
Mm.
Like that small cabal of teams. And when it's not one of them, they just get thumped, whoever it is that dares to intrude on the party. It's boring, isn't it?
And we were talking about...
Shut it down.
We were talking about youth development on Propaganda Extra before and about how it's difficult to throw kids into the Premier League because it's such a high-stakes league and you can't have, you know, a teenager up against Chelsea's billion-pound team, whatever they've got. Whereas if they all went away, we could be more... Our league would perhaps be more of a part... I mean, the Bundesliga isn't a good example because Bayern Munich ruin it, but it is a league.
Well, they could go to the Super League.
They'd be gone as well.
And that'd fix that.
You create a more competitive environment where you can put young players in and you don't have to wait until they're 24 and they've got experience elsewhere for them to be. So Archie Gray could play and it would be fine. Whereas the average age of the Premier League is so much older than other European leagues. And it's because these teams at the top create so much pressure and because the amount of money in it creates so much pressure that you can't rely on young players to battle against relegation because there's that big drop off financially into the Championship. And that's probably says something about the whole relegation prospect because what we're talking about, what you're talking about, is that if we're in the Championship next season, we still play good games against big teams. Huddersfield will still be there. And
they said big teams and good games.
I'm joking, yeah, but I'm using that as a joke to say that they're going to lose their playoff final. But there'll be teams.
I was, by the way, flirting with constructing a tweet saying if they'd have lost to Luton, saying, well, that's one team we won't have to play next year in Huddersfield, but it's just not the right time.
So they
the
will
jokes
be,
can wait.
But from a football point of view, I don't like how many games there are. There's too many, but you play good games of football against good teams. But because it's purely because the TV deal is so different that clubs financially don't want to take that step. Sporting, you just go into another division and you play another bunch of teams and it's another season in your life and you watch them and the players aren't quite as good. But from financial, it's so huge it can obliterate a club. But that is not my problem. It's not my problem. Like we get involved in all this fucking psychodrama about relegation and the huge financial damage it can do to a football club. It's not my football club that's going to have... Well, it's not my investment that will be a quarter of what it is now just after relegation. My investment in Leeds United will still be the same. That I love the fucking football club and I love watching the players in those shirts running around chasing a bag of wing, kicking balls into a net. Yeah, and a lot of that would be helped if the top six just went away and took all that money with them and just left us to reasonable amount of money. It would be fine.
And as we saw from like Rafinha sitting on the post after the ground had emptied on Sunday, it's all transient anyway, isn't it? The players are all transient. I know we get attached to them. I know we love some of them. Rafinha has never 100% felt like ours.
No, it was. They never players that you buy in at a fairly high price. They never do they? Because particularly unless you are a team that is going to be in the Champions League and winning the league and reaching the Champions League final, there's always going to be somewhere else a really good player can go.
Yeah.
So
because we loved the promotion team, I think that's what made it so special and why people are struggling to let go of Bielsa as a concept, no matter how flawed it got towards the end, is that we loved his authenticity. And we loved the personalities of all the people in that squad, you know, genuinely on a human level. And like I was flicking through Twitter a little bit earlier on and Fabrizio Romano or whatever, just saying that I think it's a couple of Chelsea mercenaries. It might be Alonso's one of them, whatever. They're definitely off to Real Madrid. These players over a certain level, you've got no real control over them, have you? it's almost a completely different elite level. They're impossible to love or get attached to. And that's what made the Bielsa promotion so special.
It's a problem as well with kind of the structure and the money side of things, that players flit around, and the players are the ones that you want to love. You know, the moment at the weekend when we equalised, Joffe doing that skill, Struyck with a, you know, he deserves so much credit for keeping calm in that situation. They'll put him on match report. It's like, you can so easily imagine that header just going into the side netting. He didn't. He just imagined it goes straight in the net and he put it there. All of that existed beyond kind of like whatever Marsh is saying, whatever Radrizzani or Kinnear are saying, and whatever the 49ers are saying, and all that kind of stuff. Completely irrelevant in the moment. And that's why you love footballers, is because they just do those kind of things. But then because footballers come and go, and they kind of, they arrive, they do cool stuff for a while. But then because they might go away, people don't want to build that affection anymore, because there's the idea that they may leave. The people who never leave are the people who bought your club. So people then transfer this weird affection onto ownerships of football clubs. It's why you get people who are like pro Radrizzani or anti Radrizzani, because they equate somebody who just bought a club with the thing that you have to like about it.
The institution itself, you mean?
Yeah. When really them buying it is kind of completely out of our control. And while they're here, they don't actually do anything to entertain me in a football sense. Whereas the players that we buy or develop and then may leave, they give me so much while they're here. It's just this, the way that now works means our affections get skewed in really strange ways towards people who sort of aren't really relevant to football. And we put ourselves in this position of thinking, well, should I like Rafinha even though he's going to play for Barcelona next season? And actually, yes, because he's been great to watch. Maybe not had the long-term impact on a football club that you would hope that we would get from a player like him. But that's really been not down to him. It's down to kind of what surrounds him. But he will leave and he'll still be a great player. And I'll probably watch him playing for Barcelona and think, yeah, cool. But then there's that idea that you should just drop him like a stone as soon as he goes to play for a different football club and only concentrate on the people who are at your football club. But that's how you end up with people saying that, like, you should like Michael Brown.
Well, actually, I don't fully agree with that, in the sense that if and when Rafinha does go to, let's say, Barcelona, I will always be able to fondly watch him, and he will feel a little bit ours, even if he never felt completely ours in the first place. I will still retain some sort of emotional ownership over him.
Well, I mean, we still do with James Milner to an extent, and he hasn't played for us for about 20 years now. So, yeah, you do maintain it with some people. It was always different with Milner because he's very much a Leeds lad and all that. So Rafinha is different.
But you can hear it in this season with the number of people who are saying, just forget about Bielsa and stop talking about him. There's a certain group of people who would prefer a line to be drawn as soon as somebody leaves. And the only people who matter are the only other people who are at Leeds within the four walls. And I think we probably feel differently, that the kind of those strays, like James Milner is just like, he's somebody who just strayed away, isn't he? And we always, you feel we have that bit of elastic that attaches into him, but you will get people who just go, well, I mean, when he celebrated Liverpool goal when we played them in the League Cup, and there was mass outrage, how dare James Milner do this thing? He's just a guy being happy for his friend who scored a goal. And people get very weird about these things, but it's all down to the fact that the only static, what is static and what is not, and we don't, the players move around more.
Have you heard about wills?
Future king?
No. The written kind of wills.
Where your stuff goes.
Yes, that one. Absolutely correct. Levi Solicitors do all sorts of future planning services for you, and they are right behind us on this podcast. If you're planning for the future, whether it is wills, lasting power of attorney, inheritance tax planning, Levi's can take care of all that for you. Because you need to make sure you see, like, what's in your loft. I mean, I'm thinking shoot magazines from the 1980s, VHS tapes with Leeds United on them, maybe a collection of football shirts, that kind of thing. Mm.
My VHSs are going to the dog's home, so the dogs can
watch them,
can enjoy those. The 11 card trick with Wilco, that sort of stuff. It's ideal for them.
No matter how old you are, you need an up-to-date will. Levi Solicitors can take care of it. 10% off your legal fees as well if you go through us. So have a look at the website for the full range of legal services for you and for your business. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. We're previewing Brentford now. Final game of the season. Mercifully, it'll all be over in a few days. I don't know about you, I've kind of wanted this season to end almost since it got going. And I know you sort of run counter to that, Moscow. You've always said we should be enjoying this journey in the Premier League, but everything's felt off this season. So I am really looking forward to it being over. I feel like we all just need a holiday collectively as a fan base after all the stress that's accumulated over the season. Although kind of the stress has gone away now, as we've been saying, I've kind of resigned myself to whatever happens. And what will happen, Brentford Community Stadium, 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, Legoland for a nice day out.
Yes, I mean, it's not how it should end in the Premier League, is it?
Do we need to order the old Brentford We're Sorry banners now?
Because we don't need to be sorry, do we?
For long-term fans of Leeds United now.
If it's a Lego stadium, it can be taken apart and put back together. No, it'll be fine on that front. I'm sure it will.
That'll be the final outing for the blue Chelsea kit as well.
No, sorry to see that go.
Do you know we've never won a game in that?
We've not won many games this season, have we, truthfully?
We beat Fulham on penalties in the hybrid kit in the Carabao wearing that shirt, but we've not won a game in open play in that shirt.
Until Sunday.
Good time to break the duck, though, wouldn't it?
Mm.
They really, really want to send us down. There's no two ways about that, is there? Because, you know, there's been a bit of back and forth in recent seasons based around the promotion and the perhaps ill-thought-out Mind the Gap Thomas Frank video that went public.
I mean, people say it's going to come back to bite us, but...
Doesn't matter, does it?
Doesn't matter, no.
It's funny.
They're going to have... Because the thing is, if they send us down, they'll do some similar stuff. And then the year after, they'll go down. And yeah. Then they won't be able to laugh about it anymore. And none of it matters anyway. Don't take it so seriously, Brentford.
Yeah.
It's fine, isn't it? And it's nice. It is. I mean, we had obviously some enjoyable times with Derby County after the playoffs and everything, and then we got to go up there and all the fun associated with that. It was great at the time. Loved it. But, you know.
Got to take your medicine sometimes,
haven't
you?
Exactly. If we go down and they do relegate us, fine. Whatever.
Yeah. They do like to blather on about the old little old Brentford stuff. I did see there was one funny exchange. It was said by a few fans on Twitter in relation to, you know, Everton have been setting off fireworks outside the opposition grounds. And they trotted out this tiresome little old Brentford bollocks. Like, oh, you've got to do that to Brentford. Have you little old Brentford come into your town? You're setting off fireworks. And it's nothing to do with Brentford being little, big or anything in between. They've been doing it for everybody in the same way that we do propaganda about everybody and preview games and we're dickheads about everybody because that's what we do. It's, you know what I mean? It's like this little old Brentford stuff. You've still got 11 players on a football field. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down.
I mean, we do talk down to Brentford more than others, but that's because they're...
Rightly so.
That's because they're playing a daft stadium and have a creep as a manager. So,
I think their old,
in your opinion,
I think their old stadium is still substantially there. So if we do need to demolish something at full time, it's not far, is it? So respect the Lego. We just take a trip down and help them. The boarding, the hoardings are up and they're demolishing it. So we could almost contribute to the redevelopment project. They're going to put some houses down.
Why not? Give him a hand. Yeah, 2-2 in December. That's when Bamford came back from his injury and then got injured again in the celebration. Do we see a little repeat performance? Would you risk Bamford in some capacity in this one? Could he repeat this trick?
I mean, if he can be on the bench and move even a bit, yeah.
Would you even start him? If you got 45 minutes out of him, would you start him?
It depends what those 45 minutes would be like, I suppose. If he looks fit, if he looks like he can do it in training, I suppose, yeah. Whether or not Bamford himself feels comfortable being potentially sacrificed again, because we would essentially be saying you might go out and injure yourself for another 6 weeks here, but it's not our problem, is it? That'd be your leg broken. we can just enjoy the lovely points.
He said he'd do it.
Is that right?
He said he was when he was talking about his plans are going against Wolves and describing all that, and he said, but you know, I'm probably not back this season, but if they do need me for the last two games, then yeah, obviously I'll help the lads and I'll do anything for the team. So
he might mean more loading bags and stuff.
He was specifically saying he will, if he's needed to play the last couple of games and he can do it, he'll do it. I mean, that's obviously the thing. He's not, if his leg is in traction, he's not going to be like running from the hospital to be running on the pitch. But he says if he's needed for the last two games, he had that in mind at that point that he might be able to do it. So
the Brentford home game, Matt, was the one where for about 15 minutes we had a fully fit squad.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Because we had...
And we thought this was the turning point.
Bamford was back on the bench. Cooper was in the team.
Tyler Roberts scored, Michael.
And then within... Yeah, I've just got the other stats up here. Within 15 minutes, Cooper was off injured. 55 minutes, Phillips off injured. But it's all right. Bamford's back on 68 and he's scored. That's good. No, he's out injured as well. And he's played... Did he play... Was it just... It was just one comeback since then, wasn't it? Or did he have a middle one as well? I can't remember. He's just constantly been... Almost fit this season as Bamford.
Was it? Yeah, this was his, because he got injured at Newcastle and then this was his comeback from all that and did his hamstring celebrating and then he got the little comeback later on when played against Wolves and that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Liam Cooper off after a quarter of an hour and then the Calvin Phillips injury in this one, I guess.
That's when people were baffled, wasn't it? That first substitution. Do you remember when he brought Jack Harrison on for him? and shuffled the entire pack. And people were saying, why have you done that?
And we got loads better, scored after that. And then only when Calvin Phillips went off, things started to go wrong. And that's kind of, it was a big game for that kind of stuff with Bamford getting injured as well. Coop, it was the spine of the team getting injured in one match. And Phillips is still not looking right at the moment and trying to work out how much of that is down to kind of the way his job has changed and also the way his legs have been mangled. I think Marsh mentioned in one press conference where he said it's been a major injury, and I think it's kind of been underrated how bad his injury was.
Because, got quite a scar, hasn't he? People were noticing.
Yeah. Unlike Pat, he didn't go crying to Sky about it. I'm being mean to Pat for no reason. But, you know, we've not heard much about Phillips being injured. He just went away being injured and then come back not looking as good as he did. But we only need a game out of them.
That home game was quite weird, wasn't it? Because we were better than them, a lot better than them, I thought, for large stretches of it. And yet, in that early spell in the second half, when they scored twice, in very quick succession, wasn't it? I'm thinking just totally leads it in.
It was the hallmark of that part, the early part of the season, wasn't it? That we'd have decent halves, and then it'd go completely wrong for a bit, and they'd score several. But I mean, I don't know if you remember in the build-up to that first game, I don't know if you listened to the Square Ball podcast about 32 minutes in, some of the stuff they were saying about Brentford was...
It
was just a little bit off. I mean, I like a laugh and a joke.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff they were saying was unbelievable. Unbelievable, some of it. That's the only thing I can really remember from
I haven't heard it, and I'm already disappointed.
Because I was sickened by it.
Yeah. Because
they've had a good season, haven't they?
Yeah, they haven't. And fair play to them. They've done really, really well, haven't they? Next season down, of course.
Of course, of course.
Because second season syndrome, as we all know, is a real thing.
Having said it wasn't, it turns out it is.
But they will probably almost certainly lose Christian Eriksen, and he's been the catalyst for their second half of the season, hasn't he? He's been pulling the strings there in midfield. Because if you actually look at their form, they slumped after Christmas. So in the new year, from the 11th of January right through to sort of the back end of February, they lost just about every game, barring one draw that they got at home to Palace. Then after that, they just like flicked the switch. In March, and won every game barring two. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I think somebody got injured, didn't they? And then Frank tried changing the tactics to accommodate it, and it was a disaster. So how many games did they lose in a row? All of them. And then put it back how it was with added Eriksen, and whoever it was injured came back, and suddenly they're good again.
It's almost like you need your best players in your team to make your team perform, isn't it?
Yeah, but if we can just stop Christian Eriksen's crosses going to anybody, I think we'll be fine.
How do you think this one's going to play out, given everything? Or is it hard to know ahead of Thursday, do you think?
I think we'll lose. I don't know why, I just think we'll lose. We have a terrible record. I know it's a different stadium, so technically it's no longer losing at the same Brentford. Is this less intimidating, this ground? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it was ever intimidating, but that's
it was kind of awkward though.
Right on top of your boxy kind of.
Whereas this, you feel like you're playing under 21s friendly in Slovenia.
Yeah. 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 I don't think there's anything necessarily to fear from like the occasion.
Hey Jude, that's quite scary.
No. Yeah. We can deal with this game. I just hope that, I don't know. I hope we can play the game and not the occasion. That's the thing. But I do worry about the state of mind of this team, which is why I do feel like if we are going to stay up, it will be off the back of a defeat and everybody else losing. But
what do we think of Pontus's state of mind?
I mean, I messaged you last night, didn't I? Late last night, saying I'd quietly talked myself into the idea that Pontus was going to let us have a goal in this game. Because he doesn't want us to go down, does he? Yeah, maybe he stands off his player that he's marking, you know, doesn't quite go for a challenge right, something like that. Just a little thing that won't ever get picked up on. Just a little sort of subconscious, subversive act that helps to save Leeds. Come on, he wants to, doesn't he?
Maybe. He's been very low-key in his games against us so far, hasn't he? I think first game back, everyone expected him to do some sort of big gesture of some kind, either to one way or another really tying himself back to Brentford or to us or something. But as it was, he just kind of got his head down and carried on playing football. So the Brentford stuff aside, I'm fairly pleased for Pontus. I liked him when he was here. I know it ended badly, but he was great for a bit.
Moscow, what are you vibing for this one then? Win, lose or draw?
I think win. And I think that the occasion could actually help us because Brentford don't want one. Whereas we have shown, I guess, the last few minutes at Brighton. And then if you think the stoppage time against Wolves and Palace and Wolves again And we scored more stoppage time goals than absolutely anybody.
Yeah, yeah. We've got 9 points from goals that have happened after 90 minutes.
So when we've been bad this season has been when it's been a game. When we've had to play matches of football, we've just been quite bad. But when it's just come down to high pressure, do or die, score now or never score again moments, it's happened. And so if we could start the match with that kind of feeling of start the game the way we ended it against Brighton, basically, and to just make Brentford aware from the start that we really, 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 really want to win, then I think there'll be enough players. I mean, Ivan Toney really, 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 really doesn't want to play for Brentford. So this should be quite easy to just kind of push into that kind of treat this as a testimonial, Ericsson's last game. Just like if we start getting the tackles in on Ericsson and start saying, if you want to be having your nice, quiet little subbed off Wes Hoolahan testimonial style when we played Norwich under Heckenbottom and we just let him stroll around, change that so that you're going to have to work in this match.
So you kick the shit out of him from the first minute.
Yeah.
But not red cards. Basically, No red cards.
So as Marsh says, aggressive, but not that aggressive. Calm, but not too calm. Believe, but now you need to believe more because you're not believing
enough. Motivated, but not over-motivated.
Yeah, all this stuff. Just get it absolutely right. But yeah, Brentford's ideal day does involve ruining our Premier League status. But I think they only want that. The players only want that to a certain extent. I think they don't want to have to have a last day battle and a horrible fight. So, dear God, let's just start strong, score 3 goals in the first 20 minutes and watch Everton get relegated.
It's going to be one of those really odd games, isn't it? Because you're going to have to watch it develop as well, because we could potentially be at 0-0 feeling quite comfortable and then you find out Burnley have scored or whatever, and all of a sudden that needs communicating to the players, because you get those things like, well, actually now we do need a goal now, having thought of draws enough. And
it's when Man City went down and they got the score wrong. Mm. Do you remember that? Was it the day Jamie Pollock scored an own goal and they all thought that they only needed to draw, so they started just like passing the ball around at the back, and there was people on the sidelines like screaming at them, like trying to get the proper score on, but the players were just looking at them going, what are you talking about? We only needed a point. This is fine. But no, you have to win. You have to win. But we could avoid all that by just scoring, I know I said 4 goals in the first 20 minutes.
I'd settle for one. From there. One in the first 20 minutes would make me feel a lot better about how this one could go.
Mm. One for us and one against Burnley early on. Give plenty of margin for error is what I'm after. This is assuming Burnley lose on Thursday.
Mm.
Oh, Jesus. Well, it'll be over soon.
Yeah, this time next week it'll be done and dusted. We know either way. It's actually only the uncertainty that makes us uncomfortable. I mean, like I said, I'm quite at peace with what happens from here. But it's going to be uncomfortable. There's no two ways about it, because there's a lot at stake.
We're recording with Phil on Friday, aren't we, this week? So it'll be interesting to see how the kind of thoughts around the game change based upon what happens on Thursday night. Because if they both lose, I guess your fraudulent website will start to, if they were to both lose, I guess that would put us favourites to stay up again.
Yeah, because you then only need to match Burnley's result.
Yeah. So things do change, don't they?
Wildly. I'm all over the place with this one, in that I kind of, in a weird way, I expect us to win, because Leeds just very occasionally have this penchant for the big occasion.
What do we do if we stay up? It feels like there needs to be a proper celebration again, but also not, because it feels,
I don't know. Let me just finish the thought to say is that I also fully expect us to lose as well, and we might draw. So I don't know where I am with it.
If we stay up, we put the staff, management, players, everybody in stocks, but only throw soft fruit at them instead of hard fruit.
Fair enough.
Is it even worth predicting what's going to happen here?
No, because generally that doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have in mind my views on how Newcastle would finish the season and Burnley post Deitch. I feel like I was justified in some of those
given
predictions.
They're on for a top half finish potentially.
Some of those.
What was it you said?
After they beat us, you said they won't win another game.
Yeah. So,
and I think after Everton beat us, you said they won't win another game as well. I think potentially after we beat Burnley, you said they wouldn't win another game either. Yeah.
So I think it's for the best that I just don't
say anything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's time for heroes and villains. We've got the Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award, named after our former owner and Mr. Chairman, who brought us plenty of misery across his spell at Elm Road. Nominations, please. We've got plenty of coming from our TSB Plus members. Where are we starting?
Rodrigo gets plenty. Ender nominated him, saying, players will make mistakes, underperform and have bad games. That happens. But Rodrigo's sins run much deeper than that. He looks for all the world like a man who just doesn't give a toss. Which I can kind of go along with for an awful lot of the time.
I've got an old fat pug that moves with more intensity than Rodrigo does. 27 million for a player to have four half-decent games against teams that finish in the bottom two. That's no mercy crease.
But what does he contribute to the leadership council? Mm. We can't disregard that.
Can we do less running? That's what he... That was his input on Bielsa's methods, wasn't it?
Question from Howling Rick says, how can people in the media think he can make the Spain squad? Are they deranged? I've got a better chance than I'm from Cass.
It's the people picking the Spanish team keep putting him in it. Although he had that, he had the shame at the Euros, didn't he? Not shame, but of being called up when they had some COVID people and then being told to just go away again.
Shame.
You can't have your holiday. That's it. They just ruined his holiday.
Yeah.
And didn't let him any closer to the team than that.
He's the leading nominee at the minute. There's quite a lot of people screaming into the void, I noticed. People who are just sort of generally despairing at the situation. Like, if Berardi scores, we're off to Biggie's saying, Leeds, the results, the relegation. I'm on my honeymoon in Mauritius. I imagine my wife will want a divorce after Thursday when I have a meltdown and ruin the holiday.
Are we nominating the void?
Potentially. I mean, Tom is saying the Premier League for being shite. The best we can hope for is that we don't go down every year. Load of old bollocks. Philip swinging wildly. Scattergun approach. Marsh for being a dick. Lampard for being a total dick, along with Richarlison, the cheating character. Brighton, like, seriously, what the fuck? Why bother, you seagull-loving bastards, etc. It goes on, it goes on.
Yeah, Marsh gets a couple of nominations as well, which is a bit harsh in the week in which we've probably had the best performance under him.
Harsh on Marsh.
Although this is the follow-up to Chelsea as well, isn't it?
Oh, that's true. Yes. Yeah, Sean Case is, feel sorry for Ted Lasso being compared to Jesse. Absolutely inept and has turned a shit team into an absolutely fucking abysmal team. Players look clueless and utterly devoid of any idea of how to play football.
Yes. Actually, I'm asking, what is his fucking problem?
All he had to do was walk around the pitch clapping politely, but no, there he is beating his chest like a demented baboon. The lack of self-awareness is staggering considering he's yet to achieve anything. Some of the hatred for Jesse does amuse me, I have to say, as much as I sometimes feel a bit bad for him.
Yeah,
on a human level.
Yeah,
you do have to try and fight it. Like, after we'd gone a goal down on Sunday, I looked at him standing at the edge of the technical area, and he was doing this thing where his feet are too far apart again.
Mm.
And I was just looking at his back and thinking, God, you... And I had to stop myself. Like, you cannot reasonably just, like, hate the way somebody stands. You've got to be careful. And we did say, second half, it seemed like... I mean, it's funny, isn't it? All of the Gandhi-gate stuff boiled down to him... It was a quote about belief, wasn't it? And he's saying, like, yeah, I use this to help the players believe in themselves. And he's saying at halftime against Brighton, I just didn't see in their faces that the players are believing in themselves. It's like, What have you been telling them for the past 2 months apart from believe in yourselves? And here they are, and they don't. And you,
do it better.
Do it better. But somehow it happened in the second half, didn't it? And I don't want to be saying that none of what happened in the second half that the players, I don't think the players have gone rogue and are suddenly just picking their own team independently of what he's asking them to do. I think he has seen that we need to get Rafinha wider. You could see from the start of the game that Rafinha was almost in his dugout. He was that wide. So he's getting us back there. But I think the phrase bitten off more than he could chew is perhaps made for Jesse this season.
Yeah.
Both in Leipzig and Leeds.
He didn't have to take the job, but he chose to do so. And I guess none of the Gandhi, Mother Teresa stuff will make a jot of difference if we stay up. Everyone will just sweep all that to the side and go, okay, then we got there, we breathe. Let's have a break, for God's sake, and we'll just see what the summer brings.
I did also enjoy his, it's just funny the way he put it on one of his interviews. He said, he was talking about how people, when they see him in Leeds, are telling him, like, come on, like, keep Leeds up. And he says, and we need that if you see Leeds players during the week, I want you to go over and push them. I think that I would gladly push them all into a hedge after some of the games this year. But I think he meant, you know, give them a push. Yes, Junior, etc.
Let's talk about Junior then, shall we? He got a few nominations. Even though it was one of his better games, weirdly, Ilkley Arsehole is saying he's a comically bad defender, lucky not to get sent off every game. When is Leif Davis coming back?
I mean, defensively, he is absolutely awful. We said he had a better second half, and that was mainly the stuff he did going forward. Defensively,
yeah. But that left-hand side, as Moscow said, like,
it's catastrophic.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot, he's constantly stood the wrong side of it. I know when we had Dorigo in, we were just chatting about the season and stuff. And bear in mind how placid Tony is. The only time he got sort of animated was when we started talking to him about Junior Firpo, because he was, stopping short of us saying he's shit. He was very visibly like upset with some of his defending. He was like, you just got to get in the right side of it. And, you know, when it's down there, you need to stand here. And it seemed quite basic stuff that he was explaining.
The smallest hint to it on the record in part two of the 91-92 special with Dorigo, where we talk about the key moments of the season and the fact that he was voted player of the season. So, you know, he knows a good left back. And I think kind of made that point to him. And we were discussing like, yeah, current issues with left back. And it was, don't get me started on that. And that's as far as he went on the record, wasn't it, anyway?
But equally, you know, he is our only left-back at the moment. So he will start on the weekend. So let's get behind him for at least another 90 minutes or until he is sent off, which he has still not been this season, despite his very best efforts.
Inside the stadium, there's still a lot of tolerance of him despite his eccentricities.
He also did his best to injure someone during the celebrations as well on the weekend. He came like flying over everyone's heads, didn't he?
And ended up in the West Stand, didn't he?
He was more likely to hurt himself doing that. But yeah, he did stick his calf into Joffy's face. It was funny. Joffy was kind of hanging around the celebrations going like, do I get any for this? Everyone's on like piling on Pascal Struyck. And bless him, all he got was kicked in the face by Junior Firpo as he went fully flying over the top. I enjoyed that. Like if we could just keep Junior around for having a nice moustache and jumping over the top of celebrations, he'd be fine.
TJ says about him, under Bielsa, he's saying about how bad he was. Under Bielsa, I put it down to the man marking system. However, it seems that the expansive grass and noise of the crowd turns him into an excitable puppy, only a lot less endearing, and he's shitting on our season.
His left-sided defensive pal, Liam Cooper, gets mentioned. Not all of Liam Cooper, though. It's just his bonds, his Swede, his head for putting it, his massive head, as Quick Draw McGraw describes it, for putting it in the way of Joffy's little hooked shot in the early stages of the Brighton game. Lucy pointed it out as well. It's like the absolute perfect embodiment of all the bastarding bad luck we've had this season.
And that's where there's some credit for the final result comes in. For we're not just overcoming playing quite bad football, but shit like that as well that makes you think, oh, we're never going to get anything out of this game. But 90 minutes later, probably was exactly 90 minutes later, we're still plugging away and got the rewards. So Liam Cooper's face didn't hinder us as much as it might. We overcame it.
There were a number of miscellaneous Leeds United nominations as well. Lone Wolves who wanted to nominate various people. Like, for example, Yorkie Dave annoyed with Pablo for not sneaking on to set up the winner.
I didn't know Pablo was there until afterwards when I saw little clips of him playing football with his lad on social media.
Somebody got a screen grab of the international coverage, didn't they, and sort of tweeted it out, and that's when I think everybody became aware of it.
And Becky Ho was in the East Stand as well, in the box.
Too many heroes in one stadium, weren't there, because they did all the 92-72 stuff as well, which I'd missed, admittedly, before the game, but I think they were, I believe they did that.
Yep.
And speaking of which, where are the heroes? Where Dan James was there, and I highlight this because I don't think Katie will be the only one who was asking where was the little scum bastard on the lap of honour. Pat Bamford was walking off down the tunnel, and there was somebody with him who he was talking to, who was wearing a baseball cap, who I just did not recognise. And I was staring at him, and I was like, who's this guy? It's like somebody run on the pitch, but Bamford knows him. Is he a mate? Is he a friend of the players? You know, they sometimes have like, they're like just lads that they know with them. And it's suddenly the penny drops. It's Dan James. I don't know if underneath the hat, if he's had a haircut.
If it's the fringe, it's a Lego fringe.
He had a haircut when he was sent off the other week.
It caused it, didn't it?
So it was quite short at the sides. So it didn't look, there was no underneath the hat, you wouldn't accept it. But yeah, if you go back, it's the little
scumbastard.
The stranger in the baseball cap is our star winger.
There were a few people as well getting annoyed at the prospect of Luke Gayling having gone on holiday through the week, and he was there doing the lap of appreciation. So
yeah, he dropped his missus off for she was off on a hen do, so she's gone.
Yeah,
but well, she shouldn't have been allowed.
Don't she care enough about Leeds United? So to the people who tweeted asking thoughts on this. None whatsoever. It's a man who went to an airport. It don't mean anything.
I think the photo wasn't even from the airport, the one that was going around.
Like a Costa or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, but...
Who cares?
But the internet sort of detectives had found out that it was the future, soon-to-be Mrs. Kyle Bartley's hen do. So the prediction was that there would be a concurrent stag do, and that was where Luke Hayling was going, but it was all just invented.
All bollocks.
Yeah. And that's, you know, they've been pretty bad at football at times this season, but I think deep down as people, they're still just about above swanning off on Kyle Bartley's. And even, you know, Kyle Bartley's not going to arrange his stag do during Leeds United season.
Brighton get a few nominations as well. James in Oz saying all those characters in yellow who were time wasting from the 35th minute onwards, fuck you. That's not actually true, you know, they were time wasting from pretty much the get-go.
Strange. Really strange. I can see why you do it when you're a worse team, but
it seems to be a hallmark of the Premier League.
A bit like Wolves did it as well, and you think, well, you kind of don't need to do this.
I know why you do it in this game as well. Like, the result isn't vital for them. I know Potter was saying afterwards about maintaining the integrity of the competition and all that kind of stuff. But what integrity does the competition have if half the points that are gained are gained because you've just laid down on the grass to have a cry so that nobody can actually play football?
And also, when the ball's in play for like 50 minutes of a game, you just think, well, what's the point of this, really?
No, we won't miss any of it. Stupid game. Ryan is...
Are you forgetting about the incredible amount of time wasting that went on in the Championship when like Gary Monk would turn up and take a minute over a throw-in in it's from the start?
I've blocked it all out, Mike.
Fair enough.
Ryan is picking out Sideshow Bob and the Brighton team for being absolute wet lettuces. Every team who have time wasted against us have basically given us points in the end.
That's true, actually.
So there's a moral story, there's a moral lesson, yeah. Bissouma picked out by Roger as well for being a ridiculous sheep. First half, fell over holding his head after Cucurella's head was clipped by Rodrigo. Second half, collapsed after the ball hit his knee.
That was ridiculous. Just don't do it. And just don't.
Legacy fan Kevin as well, pointing out that people will be annoyed by Alexis McAllister for having a silly name that is apparently pronounced McAllister, but the voice in my head can't help but pause between Mac and Alistair like I just did, McAllister. Because he's not Gary McAllister, is he?
Was he wearing number 10 as well, McAllister?
Absolutely no right to do that.
Not at Elland Road, thank you very much.
I mentioned on the match ball, it was the final chance to see Mike Dean at Elland Road, although I think he's staying on VAR duties next year, isn't he? So if we're down, we won't have to deal with that. If we are up, we will have to deal with that. As it was on Sunday, we had to deal with him in person. A few people picked him out. Nothing beyond the usual grievances here, really.
People just don't know he exists, more or less. Lean Cheese does pick up on the VAR not showing the or looking at the handball in the second half, which I haven't actually seen back.
I've seen a still of it, and I was like, oh, bloody hell, yeah.
Are you saying we were robbed?
Probably.
Good. That's near enough for me.
And there were a couple of Spurs and Burnley objections. Matt Vajuda. Now, this is troublesome because whenever I read this, I read Mark Viduka because my brain's programmed that way, but it's Matt Vajuda who annoyed at Spurs for not putting Burnley to the sword. Boney M. making a very good point. Burnley for not making the Spurs game much easier to watch. Why won't you die?
Yeah, it's true. They could have made this last week of the season a joy, couldn't they, if they'd have just not won those games, which they didn't deserve to, probably.
And Danny Welbeck, I mean, I'm annoyed that he scored. Keelan reminding us that we did start a rumour. I mean, very, very obviously start a rumour. We went on this podcast and said, let's start a rumour about a player potentially signing for Leeds. Right.
It's because he was a free agent, wasn't it? We were looking down a list of free agents and saying, who shall we say on this list is going to sign for Leeds?
And we said, let's go for Danny Welbeck because it's not beyond the realms of possibility. We were in the Championship at the time. I mean, as it is, he's stayed in the Premier League with Brighton ever since, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility. We said it on the podcast and then we did a couple of, it was very not so subtle hints that he'd been spotted at a petrol station outside Leeds or something. And then all the clickbait sites ran it, and even a couple of newspapers ran it, didn't they? Which was funny.
Didn't he? He then turned up in the St. John's Centre, didn't he? Which we never got from Jan Vertonghen, never quite dedicated himself to the bit the way that Danny Welbeck did.
Good of him to get in on the joke, I think, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Team player. Who is your villain of the week?
I mean, Rodrigo gets quite a lot. Do we wait to summer before we absolutely
rinse him? Yeah.
Start on the full-on hatred.
I feel like we need to be supportive going into this final week. It's not going to help to be negative.
But then we've tried different approaches with him, and he can basically only play well against Norwich and Watford.
But what if we use it as a motivational tool? What if this, instead of carrot, this is stick, and he wants to prove us wrong and shove it in our faces?
Well, Jesse's given him a rub down and told him how great he is, hasn't he? And that's not worked.
So do we need to be bastards to him? So should we give it? Let's be a shit to him and say, Rodrigo,
pull your fucking finger out.
You are our villain of the week. You massive waste of money. We can't wait to see the back of you. Let's hope that you can channel this into a positive effort against Brentford on Sunday and fucking do something.
Look forward to that being reported on News Now. Reading those words back without context.
But while you've got the white, blue, lilac, whatever shirt on, we're fully behind you.
As Mother Teresa said, stop fucking phoning it in, you lazy twat.
I believe she did.
That's what she said. To all the people of the nunnery that she worked at, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know how nuns work.
Yeah.
Or was she a nun? Or was she something else? She used to have an outfit.
She was like a nun at large.
Was she like head nun or something?
Head nun. That's what they call it. Sister.
Head sister. Mother. She's a mother, aren't she? She wasn't sister. Goes without saying. Get in touch.
We really should have looked at the.
Get in touch if you know if Mother Teresa was a nun. Google will know.
Wikipedia is surely the right place to go. I'll just set up the Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week award while you're looking at that, Michael. Obviously, lots of people have nominated Joseph Paul Joffe Gelharts, including Westan Ralph, who describes him as that beautiful little rat wizard, as you put it. We didn't come up with that tag. It was one of our TSB Plus members, wasn't it? Who described him as a little rat wizard. The lad is keeping our season alive, he is. And Zach in Australia, that rosy-cheeked little miracle worker, smothered that shit sandwich we were being served in so much deliciousness, I momentarily stopped caring that I was actually still being served shit between two slices of bread.
The strange thing is, I've obviously watched that back a lot of times, and the margins are so narrow, aren't they? Because the trailing leg of this dunk, isn't it, was on the floor. It's so near to getting the touch that would have stopped it going in. And at that point, we're all saying, why didn't you put it in the first time round? And it was just enough.
Yeah, your own mental thought processes are just that split second behind Joffe's. Mm. And by the time you've processed your annoyance at him, he's set up Pascal for the equaliser. It's like, oh, that was good. Yeah, it's an obvious one, says not Brian Dean. One of those proper, if that was Messi, we'd be talking about it for ages moments.
Yeah, it's extraordinary just to be able to think in that moment and then do. The two things that Rodrigo needs to learn.
Mad Ken Starling says Joffe had to be. The cojones on that little scouse rat must be massive. Dunk had his measure for 92 minutes, but Joffe learned and made him look like a proper cart arse with that flick. Outstanding.
Mother Teresa was a nun. She left. Do you know where she's from?
Calcutta, they reckon.
Doncaster.
Close.
Lincoln?
Birthplace of, same country as Jenny Alioski. She's Macedonian.
All right.
So there you go. Little known fact. But yes, she did go to Ireland to become a nun. And that what she was doing at the end, I don't know, I think she was freestyling it towards the end.
Freelance. She might have been a freelance nun.
Bit of nunning on the side.
Yeah.
Bit of other stuff too.
Hopefully she didn't
motivational speaking.
Didn't do any work for Leeds United because she wouldn't have got paid. Although they have been paid now, which is good. Just finally on Joffe, Lee and Cheese says, Joffe, now he's 20, I feel less guilty for offering my body to him. I'll have to go back and try and find out what that reference is about. But it sounds kinky.
The little mini wizard rat first occurrence I can find of it is Luke after the Arsenal game. Nominated him as a hero for his chest passes. Joffe's chest passes, more of that please. You little mini wizard rat. You love it from Luke.
So, yeah, Luke's...
Why hasn't he played more this season? It is frustrating because I know he didn't have a brilliant game, but he can still do stuff like that. And it does make you wonder why we've not had a bit more space for
it. He's had more injuries than I think people have realised because it's all been out the public eye. And we were talking during the other show about Anthony Gordon trying to mark at the back post and costing an entire game just because he's inexperienced and whether you put them in the level. And I was listening to the Leeds That podcast interview, Hayden Evans, who is Charlie Creswell's agent and has been agent to Leeds players for years and years. And he was given the impression, he was talking about Joffe and Creswell and saying that both of them, obviously as players and to some respects as their agents and their families, you want them to be playing all the time. You just don't understand why they're not in the pitch. But actually, if you take a step back and look at what they've done this season, fine. He was saying with Gale Hartley, it's like it's pretty much what you would want from a player with his talent at his age in this league. Like all he's really had this season as well is the good stuff. Like he's not got one of those Anthony Gordon moments where they'll be watching that back in their analysis this week and pointing a finger at a teenager and saying, that's your fault.
That wouldn't be like Frank at all. Frank will say, it's really my fault, this.
All Joffe's had to do is come into games.
Do the fun bits.
Yeah. Win a penalty, do some amazing skill and just get used to being in the Premier League that way. And it was interesting that Hayden Evans was kind of like, obviously he gets pushed and pushed and pushed from everybody, wants to see him play more. But with his experiences and sort of looking for the best thing that it could have gone for him this season, he couldn't have had a better season, really. Couldn't ask for much more.
And you don't get as much of that if we've got a bigger squad either. You know, if you've got competition up front, then he's not the default choice to say, well, why isn't he playing? Because he can then just sort of develop his little wizard rat skills, you know, at his own pace then, can't he?
I wonder what he makes of it if he knows that he's been referred to as a wizard rat.
If him and Dan James are ever comparing notes, what do they call you?
Pascal. And Rodrigo, obviously, this week can you join in as well.
Pascal Strout got a number of nominations as well.
Prince of Belgium.
Yes, and the
Benelux King.
Netherlands and Luxembourg.
I believe they're the three nations have come together to throw a national holiday. 15th of May will forevermore be Strike Day in the three countries. Not forgetting he's Indonesian.
I was
going to
say, you're missing out. I don't know how that you integrate that into Benelux.
Well, I mean, Belgium and its history has not had a problem with integrating.
What's the name of a word
around the world?
What's the name of that word where you put other words together to make like a new word?
A portmanteau.
That's the one, a portmanteau. Yeah, well, we've had a portmanteau because loads of nominations for Pascal Strack, but a number of people couldn't decide between Joffe or Strauch, so have nominated them both. So is it Joffe and Strauchy? Is it Joffscal? Is it Pascoffy?
Joffscal's quite nice.
Yeah, I like Joffe. Pascoffy sounds like it's like a
biscuit.
Nah, it's where you buy booze in Liverpool.
All right.
But Joffscal actually sounds like somebody from Liverpool.
And just playing the tape backwards a little bit, Llorente got a couple of nominations for the key pass to Joffe. In the first place, Frank's heart attack said Llorente's one brain cell is the hero of the week for taking control and deciding to pass to Joffe instead of taking a piss and attempting to rocket that ball to the moon.
Yeah, the hero nomination is not for the pass; it's for not shooting. And it's and I can remember quite clearly that ball being at his feet outside the penalty area and leaning forward in my seat and going, "Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Don't shoot!" Oh, thank God!
Yeah,
and then with no idea of what was going to happen. The pass is good. The pass is fine. Not shooting is probably the best thing Llorente has done for a while.
We had a number of nominations for other players. Rafa got a nomination by somebody who didn't leave a name. Says it was lovely of him to give us a final extra installment of his highlights reel before he leaves. I trust that corporate, will publish it to the Lego movie song, Everything is Awesome.
Very catchy, that.
I want to nominate him too slightly for being so dedicated to the long throws, even though he's really bad at them.
Yeah. They're a real mixed bag. Some go much further than others, don't they? It's like he's not got his technique right and he just catches one
sometimes. He's quite a slight boy.
You'd rewind to that training session when Jesse Marsh gets them all to, who here has a long throw? And then they all do them. The next phrase should have been, okay, let's not do that. Short throws, guys.
You can't take corners either, I noticed as well on the weekend.
That's a long-running theme, but there was a point when we got a throw and I think somebody was just going to take it and he was like, nope, I do this. I hate it. I don't want to. And he was looking at it, pointing at Liam Cooper and Llorente. He's like, I'm not going to do this if you're not getting in the box. We've all got to do this. None of us want to. It won't work.
You're made to eat your vegetables as a kid.
But we're absolutely, he is the big brother going like, Mum wants us to eat this. We're eating it.
Eat the sprouts.
You're just making her, she's cooked this. Stop making her life difficult. This is what Jesse wants. We're going to do it. And, you know, I think we've all wavered and watched Rafinha a bit, and you saw him at the goalpost at the end and thing. Is his mind on the job? Is he thinking about Barcelona? Is he thinking about what he could be doing? And he may have had those moments as well where he's thinking, what is in this for me? These fish and chips people, why am I even here? But I really took from that game that he's going through it. He's doing everything that he is being asked to do and things that other players cannot do and trying to do to get us going. And if that involves, even down the other week when he's screaming at people for keeping the ball in the East End and all that stuff and yelling at them for throwing paper, he's really doing his best to take charge of a situation, which is good because he's our best player and he's the one you want doing that.
So, we get a farewell goal from him on Sunday. He's going to win us the game. Yeah, rounding up the nominations. Yeah, Rafinha does get nominated by No Name. Calvin nominated by John P. No Mercy, Crease, Jackie, Ender, Melier, Katie, Dallas and Coops. Ken Bates stole my seat. Starts on Joffy. Makes sense. Then moves into Firpo. Mm. Lucy Loves Cock says that tackle to stop us from going behind by two was a massive point in the game. He played through injury and fought hard.
And we should point out that Lucy does also say, insert your own jokes, because I've used tackle, massive and hard, so that when you described her as Lucy Loves Cock, which is not the name she gave herself.
Oh, no, is it not?
That was you inserting your own joke. It's all fair.
It was. I hereby declare this baby. That's what they say at christenings, isn't it? We'll have to ask the nuns and check, but Lucy Loves Cock.
It was a great tackle. It was very brilliant. Good, yeah. And I think there was the little flyby mention for Liam Cooper in there, and I think he's going to be big at the weekend because Ericsson's crosses, Cooper's head, game one.
Ryan, big fan of the fans, and Eddie Gray belting out, marching on together as well. That was nice. Ilkley Arsoul, Kevin Friend, he was the ref in the Spurs, or was he VAR, sorry, in Spurs versus Burnley. Either way, he was responsible somehow for the handball decision that kept leading it for another week.
He's really good on that, actually. He goes and spends ages looking at the monitor, and then he introduced a little bit of suspense into his gestures. He came back and he drew the air television, and then he paused and I was like, what's he going to do? Point at the spot. Yes, you little.
It's like on the winner of the X Factor is dramatic pause.
On the Arsenal fan TV, actually, one of the clips I watched, there was a VAR thing, it was something Arsenal wanted, and one of them got confused and started drawing a ball. He was going, VAR! VAR! Giving the universal symbol for got the ball, ref.
Not the man, yeah.
Got the ball, not the man. But he was doing that instead of the square, which was, it is confusing.
Getting your gestures wrong.
Unless he's got one of those round tellies that they had in the very old days.
Scrooge, yeah, for Brentford and Tottenham. Great bunch of lads. I feel sick. Thanks to Kevin as well for being nice about us. And Mike, go Aston Villa, go Pantera, who is fighting the good fight in Austria. Who's your hero of the week? Is it Joffrey?
I think...
Is it Joffscal?
It's Joffscal.
Give it to Joffscal.
One of the match reports, I think the Mail or something, was criticising Marsh for saying it was a winning goal, and it was like he misspoke, and it made me think, because when I was writing my match report, I started by writing down Joffy's winner.
Yeah, he didn't score.
Two big things. But it felt like that because the skill was so good and the moment was so vital. But Strike has had a right arse of a time over the last few months. His form has gone, and all the things where you think we're looking at the next Van Dijk guaranteed, he's hit the buffers as a young player will do in a relegation battle in the hardest league in the world when managers are being changed, everything's chaos around him. It's affected his form. And even when he came on, people weren't happy with the substitution. And I think he started off, he made a mistake with like his first touch or something. You're thinking, oh God, what are we doing? Poor old Pascal. And he had a right old bad time against Chelsea as well, I thought. So you give him that chance and that's it, where it's so easy to think Joffy does all that and then the header just goes Welbeck style into the crowd. But he couldn't have done it any better, could it? Absolute perfection.
So
concentrated, mind is there, execution, and looked like he absolutely loved the celebrations. Even then had, it's our pal Phil in his first draft of his match report said it was his first senior goal and had loads of people saying he scored it against Arsenal. And he was first one at Elland Road. All the good stuff that Stoic has done has kind of been forgotten and had bits chipped off it because of all the attention on the Joffster. So
it's Joff's goal.
They have to share it at minimum. And with, I think, Joffy is going to win a lot of awards over his future career. So if he just gives three quarters of this, can go to strike.
And yeah.
Be nice.
And by giving this award to them as a pair, we're pleasing five non-English nation states, aren't we? The three Benelux ones, Indonesia and Liverpool.
Of course.
So congratulations to all five of those nations. That's it then. Final week of the season.
Here we go.
Wonder how it's going to feel next week. We'll find out then, I guess, won't we? We'll got the Phil Hayes show. Yeah, we're doing it slightly later this week. That's going to be Friday morning. We're recording that. We'll get it out Friday afternoon. Match ball.
Let's see.
Match ball Sunday afternoon. Hey, you never know. We might even do it on Thursday if things go well. Let's see. We'll be back in due course. Thank you for watching and listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.